I arrived up on scene about 30 minutes after the engagement with Bill Vincent, stayed with me, and talked to Mosenthal. Unfortunately, Kelly had taken off for the Tet holiday, and I didn't have an artillery forward observer. But fortunately, Bill Vincent was an artillery officer, so we cranked up the artillery to try and get some artillery. There was that streamline, well, the river was up in U, the streamline that they were in, and then there was a hill, and they were up in that hill, and so we were started pounding that with artillery. I was calling back to operations about where the reaction force was, and I was getting that humma, humma, humma 2 hours before. And so Colonel Adams, the battalion commander of the 2nd and the 27th, owed us some favors. And I knew that he really did owe us because he came personally to our operations about 2 weeks before to thank us for bailing them out on a very hairy mission they had to recover a tank from the 34th Armor that had a dead crew in it that they were using for bait. Smokey Burgess and a few of the other light scouts went in, just hovered on over, suppressed the noise and everything, and they were able to go in and get them out. So he was very, he said he was beholden to us. Well, I got on the phone, got the SOI, called the 2nd and 27th, explained to Colonel Adams what the situation was. He says, I'll take care of it. Within about an hour, I got a call from Colonel Adams that he had already made arrangements for the 116th to lift in a company. So one company came in just as the sun was setting and landed about, what is it, about 3 clicks away, Bill? Mm-hmm. About 3 kilometers away in a big LZ, which was a smart thing to do. It had been where the plantation was. It put the people out. They started right into the woods. And I presume they were OpCon to me because I was trying to guide them on in. And they ran into just heavy, heavy fire. And they got a hold of Colonel Adams. Colonel Adams then brought himself in and another rifle company. So now he had a battalion minus in there trying to fight their way in. And obviously, my efforts were subordinate to his from then on. But I stayed in contact with Bill and brought the gunships around. As Bill says, as it got dark, fire was coming down from them. But we kept enough gunships all night long going around. Well, now I was talking to the LRPs also out there that they had put in. And LRPs started, came up on my frequency, frightened, wanting me to do something because I had been kind of their big daddy, at least through the fall. And they were describing to me company-sized formations marching close order down the road right in front of them. So I said, good, we'll get some artillery on them. And they begged me not to do it because it would reveal their position. They knew that they were toast if they found it. So we tried to work out, okay, there's an intersection down about a click and a half from you. We'll time it. You tell me when they pass. We'll take the time and we'll drop artillery on them. They didn't want that either. And then they shut up. We don't want it. And I did talk to them frequently off through the night to make sure they were still there. But they were reporting waves and waves of NVA marching in full uniform, close order, right down the road. I was dropping flares until Colonel Adams' people said that flares were hindering their operation of coming through the brush because they were looking at the flare as it was in, and for the VC, they were getting the benefit of the flare, not, and I was trying to keep illumination for Bill so that if all of a sudden a wave of them had popped up and tried to come in on them, at least we'd had a start of a chance of putting them down and had gunships available to take them down. I stayed about midnight. The EGT on the airplane I was flying went up into the red, and so I headed back to Coochee. Bill Vincent clicked off my radio, you know, the little things that click you off so you can't listen to the other guy talking. And I hear him talking, and I click mine back up. He was calling operations to have another ship come and meet us as soon as we landed, because he didn't want me to get away. So I stayed. I went down one time. Thought went through my mind, and I guess it came out my mouth, that I was going to jump into the hole with him with help. I was going home the next day, whatever. And Bill Vincent said, no, you're not. He took the airplane, pulled it away, and pulled this back up. But I stayed with him until they linked up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then I went back, and I went down to 12th back. There I greeted John Collins, Bill Mosenthal, waited to, as they got taken in. And as I remember, Bill, they hit him in a magazine, and the magazine got carried into your stomach.
Yeah.
At least that's what the surgeon told me. The surgeon came out, told me that they were all going to survive. I guess we had about 7 badly wounded. Everybody was wounded to some degree. But he came out, he was drenched in blood.
Yeah.
Didn't look very clean either, but at least he assured me that everybody was going to survive. And I went back on in, got a little sleep. And the next morning, we got the call from the 2nd to the 27th. They wanted to go back in, and pull out the bodies, their bodies, and our bodies. And Captain Stone had become the aero rifle lift leader by default some weeks before. I went to Stone and noticed that he had a combat infantryman's badge on, which shocked me. And so I told him to go on out and get his dead.